Blog Talk Radio.
Better grab everything I can.
You're gonna want to see this.
This is gonna be good.
Francis!
What?
Mm-hmm.
Grabbing pills. Grabbing pills.
Grabbing pills.
Pills here!
Grabbing pills.
Woo!
Grabbing pills.
Yeah!
Grabbing pills.
It's that
pills,
kind of morning,
pills,
too.
Nice.
Oh, I just got a flashback to you and I playing Left 4 Dead.
Nice.
Oh, we're having so much fun. How either one of us had a voice the next day, I have no idea.
So y'all, Ginger is wrong. You know how you heard the song just now? Say, we got pills here. Ginger would say, we got pills here. Then she'd pick them up.
You're like, pills here.
Mine.
Pills.
Oh, I picked
them. Hang on, shove them down your throat.
Hello.
All right, you're up for a
second. Hello. Hopefully that won't happen much this weekend, since we'll have a live person in place of what's his face? Cause
Nick was constantly shooting us. It was like, what in the?
I don't know what was wrong with Nick.
Nick was a hoser.
I think he was a plant for the zombies.
A plant for the zombies. Yes, I could buy that.
I think that's what was happening. Ah, we forgot you guys to listen. Good morning. Welcome to Lunch with Ginger.
And we totally forgot y'all were there. Hey, what's up?
It could have gotten way worse in that conversation.
That is true. Some of the stuff that was being said the other night. Mm-hmm, yeah.
Y'all don't want to know.
No, we had people listening in, so they got to hear.
Oh, well, yeah. You all should be aware. You play with us on Xbox or anywhere else. Two different peoples.
Mm-hmm.
Don't sit there with your mouth open going, I can't believe they speak that way. Yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
We are gamers.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Did you got some news? Because I got some news.
I got some news.
You go.
Okay. All right. I'm going to go first with an awesome story this morning. Yes. Very awesome story. I'm pulling this from GamePolitics.com this morning. New game hopes to help youth avoid HIV. I always love it when video games are trying to help out real-world stuff. A new video game created by Yale School of Medicine researchers hopes to help at-risk youth learn about and avoid the risks associated with HIV. The game was developed as part of the Play to Prevent initiative at Yale, a collaboration and partnership between scientists, educators, video game designers and developers, and community-based organizations. The game development process is being spearheaded by Shell Games. Dr. Lynn E. Oh, I'm going to kill your name. Phelan, Associate Professor of Medicine at Yale, says the goal is to develop educational materials and targeted interventions that produces risk reduction and prevention in youth and young adults. Dr. Phelan says games are powerful tools in helping people explore roles and risks before life makes them all too real and risky. The Play to Prevent initiative focused on helping its players meet the challenges at risk youth must face head on. Funded by the Eunice Kennedy Shriver National Institute on Child Health and Human Development, the HIV prevention game will be developed over the next 18 months and will be tested via a study over the 300. Will be tested via study with over 300 young participants in New Haven, Connecticut after school program. Researchers hope to help youth avoid risky behaviors associated with HIV acquisition and establish the best way to use video games to produce positive health behaviors. The game will be completed sometime in 2012 and is being targeted for low-end PC tablet devices. If the research proves that the game is an effective tool in fighting HIV, it plans to target other platforms and release the game worldwide. On one hand, I think this is awesome that they're using video games to try to address real-world issues like HIV, spread of AIDS, all that horrible, horrible stuff. But I'm also thinking that a lot of the target base that they're looking for is not going to have a tablet PC on hand to play this kind of thing, let alone be sitting at a computer. I'm pretty sure if you're involved in risky behavior like this, playing on your computer is probably not your major thought, you know? And Corey's either quiet or
I'm muted because I'm crazy.
Something in, you know, I mean, while all children need to learn this, and this is very, it could be a powerful tool, I'm thinking they're probably looking at, I can't even think of the word. I'm thinking of my brain is so dead.
Are you a zombie? Because you know what we have to do with you.
I'm a zombie. No, I've got no spots. Nothing's fallen off. All my body parts are still attached. I think I'm good.
All right.
And I don't have a thirst for brains. Ooh,
not
brains.
Yet. Did you say, ooh, brains? No, ma'am.
But I think that they are targeting a lower income type family situation for this kind of thing, most likely. And I'm thinking those children aren't going to have access to this sort of technology to play this.
They're trying to say that they are, and that's a whole debate that, ironically, I had with a parent yesterday that I cannot get into on the air. But, yeah. I'm going to walk away from this, yeah.
And my deal is people going to be like, oh, well, they can get it, you know, they can get the technology at school. Yes.
No.
Schools where we do the, you know, abstinence-only educations, right? Because, you know.
Some schools, you know, I'm going to say this. Some people get out of your bubble. Things that you think are going on in schools, when what they're showing you on the news is not always the case. They probably don't have access to it at school.
No. Because you've only got so much of a budget.
Yeah, and they don't
and
give this.
Like this are going to get set aside because
they don't have that kind of budget. They don't get it. So, And see, that was part of our argument yesterday. I went to, look, now I'm going to give away too much. Somebody's going to be, this is a big district. You can find me if you can, if you're good. But I was in the Aldine School District in Houston, which at the time was the second richest district in the state of Texas. And even then, with the money that they had from school programs, because all of our school programs rock, the football team to the choir, the band, we all were award-winning. And yes, I was in 2 out of 3 of those. that we still didn't have any computers. And it was the age when computers were starting to come in.
Mm-hmm.
So still, no computers in that school, except for one department had them, and they were, even then they were kind of antiquated. Green screens, and then
Ooh.
There was that orange one that came about after that. Yeah.
Ooh.
But I was a smart girl. I spent all my time in there learning how to program them until they changed it up. Anyway. news this morning, if you're watching on Twitter, I told you this is coming. I gave you a little time to get there and log in and start listening. So you're playing your L.A. Noir. You are rolling those funny cigarettes or looking over your crime cases, you know, seeing who was, you know, hurt, dead, whatever the case may be, whatever it is you're doing. And all of a sudden, it freezes, and you let out the string of obscenities we can't say during daytime. But if you play the For Dead with us tonight, you'll hear them because I'll let them out.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying, what the hell? Some of you are planning to get L.A. Noir, and you heard that it's not L.A. Noir that's causing the problem. It's the PlayStation 3. No. Blaster, in his attempt to put his foot in the news this morning. Hello, Blaster.
Hello, Blaster.
Sent over to me a lovely article from, I don't want to say the name. Anyway, but they... apparently, it's not your PlayStation 3 that's causing the problem. It is, in fact, your L.A. Noir. they're saying that they can neither confirm nor deny if it's L.A. Noir or the firmware for the PS3. Excuse me, this is causing the update. But they're saying please contact your technical support people at Rockstar, and Rockstar has a support link. It's rockstargames.com/support, or you can go to Rockstar. They have a support on Twitter, so it's at Rockstar Support. And they also want you to contact the PlayStation, which is us.playstation.com/support/. They're also recommending that you do some of the following. They're saying they don't believe it's necessarily the firmware, they're recommending that, or Rockstar is recommending that you delete your game data, not your save data, from your PS3 and clear your cache on your Xbox and see if that helps. Some of the crashes are saying isolated incidents, so it might just be your version of your PS3 or Xbox that's causing the problem. So all we can tell you is harass the hell out of the support people.
Yeah.
And good luck, because now I'm not touching this until they get it sorted out.
Exactly.
I was thinking about selling some small animals to go ahead and get me a copy, but no, I think I'm going to wait. I wonder, it did come out on PC, right? It came out on PC.
I think so, but I'm not for certain.
Are the PC people having any of those issues? I wonder. I haven't seen anything about the PC.
I don't know.
Sorry,
I'm sneezing my head off over here.
Bless you, my child.
Bless me. Yay.
Bless you, my child. So I wonder if it's... No, it just came out on PS3 and Xbox. So I was wondering if it was if the PC people were having a problem. Because I was going to say, that cinches it. Then it is a game. It's too much of a coincidence. But, oh well, could be all this new firmware. Now, see, on Xbox, it could also be their new firmware update that could be causing some problems. So you might want to check and see if you downloaded the new firmware from Xbox and see if deleting that will help. I am happy that they put that in, because that was killing me. I had a game that was crashing like that, and I was able to go in and delete an update, and it fixed it. I like that you put that in, Xbox. Very smart.
Very nice, very nice.
Anyway.
All right. I've got a news story today, and I'm stealing it from you, Corey, because you're the one who linked it last night. Not technically about gaming, but it is about zombies. And you know we love us some zombies over here.
Zombies!
Miss Corey, I don't know where she finds these stories. I swear to God, she finds the most hilarious stories. Found a story last night over on Pulp Tech, or ZDNet. CDC launches a zombie apocalypse survival guide, supplementary tech tips. Oh, yes. All right, so the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention just published its official zombie apocalypse survival guide, yet left out crucial information for a zombie target demographic. Geeks! should America become besieged by undead hordes, United States Federal Agency CDC now has us covered. Preparedness 101 Zombie Apocalypse officially has everything we need to know about preparedness in the event of a zombie virus outbreak, or does it? Zombie Apocalypse Survival Tips for the Tech Set seem to be missing. The guide on the CDC's Public Health Matters blog, which is blogs.cdc.gov /public health matters, begins, there are all kinds of emergencies out there that we can prepare for. Take a zombie apocalypse, for example. That's right, I said zombie apocalypse. You may laugh now, but when it happens, you'll be happy you read this. And hey, maybe you'll even learn a thing or two about how to prepare for a real emergency. The best part might just be the comments. Clearly, the CDC has put their official federal stamp on a viral disaster survival guide that has enough whimsy to remind us that an official institution is in touch with pop culture. While it delivers a small sermon on making it during a crisis that has only ever existed in fiction and horror films. My only concerns with this, says the writer, is that when the real zombie outbreak happens, no one will take the CDC seriously when the real zombies come. That the CDC has created this guide shouldn't come as a surprise, really. The writer goes on to say, besides the inevitableness of the zombie virus outbreak, it seems that even the head of FEMA has been working on some kind of plan, as evidenced in a photo candidly showing the director's choice of office reading material. Oh, my God. I'm looking at this picture. Hilarious. When the Washington Post ran an interview with FEMA's Craig Fugate about the five-year anniversary of Hurricane Katrina last August, the interview was accompanied by a photo of Fugate and his office with a caption explaining that Fugate keeps his FEMA office sparse with Florida Gator mementos. A close look at the photo reveals a very interesting detail in the sparseness of the FEMA director's office, a handy copy of the guidebook, The Zombie Survival Guide, Complete Protection from the Living Dead. Well, FEMA has nothing to do has nothing on the CDC if you're the kind of person that has the Zombie Survival Guide scanner app in your iPhone. Oh, I gotta have that.
I was waiting for you to say that.
Then you'll appreciate the CDC's guide's attention to detail. Helpful tips include make a list of local contacts like the police, the fire department, and your local zombie response team. Also, plan your evacuation route. When zombies are hungry, they won't stop until they get food, which is brains, which means you need to get out of town fast.
Oh, that is not true. According to zombie lore, they just want to eat flesh, in which case, as soon as the zombie outbreaks happen, I'm defrosting all the chicken in my freezer and just throwing it outside and making a run for the truck.
Mm-hmm.
That's my escape plan.
Yes. What's nice is that the CDC explains their role during the zombie apocalypse, and we all know what we've learned from zombie history is that the first things to fail us is our infrastructures, like the CDC. The CDC reassures us, if zombies did start roaming the streets, CDC would conduct an investigation much like any other disease outbreak. CDC would provide technical assistance to cities, states, or international partners dealing with a zombie infestation. This assistance might include consultation, lab testing and analysis, patient management and care, tracking of contacts, and infection control, including isolation and quarantine. Yeah, I don't think a nuke is isolation and quarantine. Just saying. It's likely that an investigation of the scenario would seek to accomplish several goals. Determine the cause of the illness, the source of the infection virus toxin, learn how it is transmitted and how readily it is spread, how to break the cycle of transmission and thus prevent further cases, and how patients can treat
it. We know how it's transmitted. They bite you.
They bite. Well, we all know how this usually turns out. I'm sure the CDC is staffed by some particularly delicious people. Brains. Yet you may also notice that the CDC's guide, while quite good, is missing the tech aspect of zombie survival. So far, no one has assembled a high-tech mobile zombie apocalypse survival guide. This is a problem. We can only hope that the CDC revisits their excellent zombie apocalypse survival guide with information for the digital era. Besides keeping cell phones charged, I'd suggest that the CDC add night vision goggles, infrared goggles so you can see the difference between living and the dead, and a GPS system. How about a tutorial on using Google Maps for working with maps layers and creating shareable distributable mobile apps with quarantine and infection zones pinned. There may even be just an app for that, surviving the zombie apocalypse, that is. Stop by the Zombie Survival Wiki as they're light years ahead of the CDC. Yeah, you can check that out over at zombiessurvivalwiki.com, which I'm also opening and going to go check out.
I love the comments are absolutely priceless. However, Mr. Dr. Zing that said geeks are dead ducks in a zombie outbreak because if you gave us a gun, we wouldn't know which end to hold it. As a geek who does own a gun, I assure you.
I've played swords and shooters, buddy. I am not scared. You bring it.
I got the gun and a sword. Trust me.
I got the gun. Oh, yeah, we were laughing. We were playing with a shotgun last night. You're like, you know, this is a single shot, though. This wouldn't be very good.
Yes, because you need to take out the aggression. Mm.
Yeah, you know you're a geek when you start debating the whole single shot guns. You know, you reload it so quickly. No, I don't want to reload it. Yeah.
Yes, it takes time to reload. See, those are things that a non geek would not think about. We are counting. I got 25 shells. One, two.
Exactly.
Do you have any shells on your caddy to save this? Get the sword out. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're the ones thinking about that. While you're saying, what did he say? You can send him to go check and see if the coast is clear. I will tell you also, as a geek and a crazy person, when you say that to me, I'm going to assume you are bitten. You must be destroyed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you always know the first person out that door, the first person that goes off by themselves is the one who gets bit and then tries to hide it.
Isn't that what Horace told us? Why don't you guys split up?
No.
No. You never split up. Never, ever.
But no.
Zombie root picked out. You know what? You know what I would like to see? I hope somebody's listening that's involved in a flash mob. I would like to see some people dressed up and go out and, you know, somewhere and bite each other, fall down, and then get up and do the dance with Thriller dressed as zombies. That would be hot. Anyway.
That would be hilarious.
I would love that. Maybe the guys from Valve will do that when they release the next Left 4 Dead. That would be awesome.
Ooh.
See, that's good marketing right there.
Mm-hmm. That is good marketing right there.
Come up with a few every now and again. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, you guys will be happy to know. Behave yourself. We have here. It's a failure to something. Mm-hmm. All right. So you guys will be happy to know this. Microsoft. Wait a minute. Okay, I had to make sure I was on the right date here. You know, I'm all confused. I have no concept of time. Microsoft is offering their free Xbox 360 with a back-to-school computer. Mm-hmm. So there's, I saw this yesterday, but it came in right as we were ending the news.
Wait, hold on. Is this the good Xbox 360, or this is the one they're going to have to replace because it doesn't work, Xbox 360?
I don't know, but this is only for college students. They're saying starting May the 22nd, which is Monday?
Yeah, I think so.
No, it's Sunday. May 22nd, if you college students out there, buying a new Windows 7 PC will also get a free Xbox 360 4GB console free. Yes,
free.
Did I say free? I need to say it again, free. As long as your new computer costs at least $699, and it has to have come from Redmond or one of its partners, including HP and Dell. Online ordering will require a .edu email address so they can verify you are in school. Like, some hackers can't create that. If you'd rather shop at Best Buy or Microsoft Store, you'll need an actual student ID to prove, you know, that you're a student. And they're saying this isn't about convincing students that they need more than a tablet computer, of course. It's about giving them the opportunity to be popular and fail school because you spend all your time playing Left 4 Dead. Get ready to be
ginger late at night.
Yes. They say, get ready to be the coolest kid on your dorm floor with a killer new Windows 7 PC and an Xbox. All you really need for college, the company says. Yes, being the coolest kid in your dorm floor, pretty much the definition of higher education, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just say, Microsoft, while I appreciate the concept, how about you just give them the $300 that it costs for the Xbox towards some books? So that when they graduate from college, they can buy their own Xbox. It's not a necessity. People, I think I was watching too much Susie Orman this morning. So many of us are trying to buy stuff we don't need to impress people we don't like or know. I don't care if you like me because I have an Xbox, you know, in college. I need to graduate so I can get a job.
Exactly.
I don't want
to live in mommy and daddy's basement.
Yes, and I'm trying to eat. So when the zombie apocalypse happens, I'm not homeless and on the street. Those are the next people that get bitten.
Pizza costs money.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we're gamers. We survive off of pizza. That is like our fuel.
That's right. And again, I say, homeless equals first zombie meal.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're just laying out there on the street. That's free. That's free buffet to a zombie. I'm just saying. You know I'm right, Ginger. Those are the first people that are going to get bitten, and then the homeless.
That is horrible, but you're so right.
And they're numerous, and then, you know, homeless people are resourceful, and we think they're not in good shape, but when they become zombies, man, I'm just saying. We don't want them biting us, so you don't want to be bit. Ginger, stop sending me messages.
You gotta know.
See, you guys should know during every show, day or night, this happens. Dirty messages.
Yeah, that last part was his response. Okay, so anyways, it was not dirty, but it was hilarious.
Dirty.
So hilarious. I know, I'm trying not to laugh my ass off thinking about that. Okay. Comcast NBC takes heat over funding threat to nonprofit. Pulling this from GamePolitics.com this morning, looks like Comcast and NBC are in trouble. Imagine that.
We talked about that last night. You want to hear the dirty version of this discussion, because we're going to have a clean one now.
Mm-hmm. A controversial tweet from a nonprofit supported by donations from Comcast has caused the company a bit over controversy over the last 24 hours, and it is who wrote this? And it has all to do with former SEC Commissioner Meredith Atwell-Baker. In case you've forgotten, Meredith Atwell-Baker approved the Comcast-NBC merger about 4 months ago and then recently took a job with the same company. Real Girls is a summer camp for teenage girls in Seattle that offers courses in documentary filmmaking, video production, and film animation. The trouble began, as most trouble happens online these days, on Twitter. The official account for nonprofit Real Girls tweeted its disdain for Baker joining Comcast NBC as a lobbyist. It goes off, OMG, at SEC, Commissioner Baker voted to approve Comcast NBC merger and is now leaving SEC for a job at Comcast. This small little sentence was enough to tick off an employee at Comcast NBC who threatened to pull its funding from the nonprofit. Given the fact that Comcast has been a major supporter of Real Girls for several years now, I am frankly shocked that your organization is slamming us on Twitter, says Steve Kipp. A Comcast communications executive wrote in an email to Real Girls. This is not the first time either, Kipp wrote. I've seen at least one other negative tweet about Comcast. The email turned out to be a bad idea. In a statement to the media, Real Girls claims said that is not asking Comcast NBC to restore any funding, but does want the company to consider whether it is appropriate to expect to be beyond reproach by any who choose to work with them. Seeing the public response to the exchange changed Comcast NBC's stance rapidly, the company issued a statement casting Kipp's comments in a bad light. We are in the process of reaching out to Real Girls in Seattle and let them know the funding the organization has received from Comcast is not in jeopardy. This is coming from Sina Fitzmaurice, a spokeswoman for Comcast. We sincerely apologize for the unauthorized action of our employee. This is not the way Comcast behaves towards its nonprofit partners. Yeah, you know what, Kipp? I really hope you didn't want that job. I hope you have something else waiting, because I'm pretty sure you're about to be out on your bum. Mm-hmm. You'll be one of those first zombies, because you'll be living out there in the car. Yeah.
I like it. First zombie. Mm-hmm. We've gone and coined that phrase.
Be a first-gen zombie.
Ginger, I love you. I really do. I really love you. Ooh, we come up with some phrases here. Okay.
I know. Now we just need to slap those all on shirts and coffee cups and, yeah.
Well, we're making our way around to it, girl. We're making our way around.
Anybody else feels that? Remember, I said it on air first. That's my word. That's indeed. My phrase. You can't have it.
Indeed.
You're riding it right now.
Indeed. Oh, wait a minute. I think I just did something I wasn't supposed
indeed.
To.
Indeed. Chris Judge.
Indeed. Indeed.
Got to do the whole one eyebrow lift.
Yes.
Tilt.
Oh, stop it, girl. It's too early for that.
too early to be drooling over Chris Judge's joke on Stargate? No way.
I don't even watch Stargate, and I know who you're talking about. And anyway, Golden Joystick Awards have been revitalized. Oh, poor choice of story. Have been revitalized for 2011. Future, the special interest media group, today announced that its 29th annual Golden Joystick Awards. You know, who wrote this? Okay, so the 2011 awards are partnered by Games Master, one of UK's best-loved and most respected games brands. The combined heritage and expertise of Games Master and the Golden Joystick Awards, stretching back almost 30 years, is unmatched in the games industry. The new Games Master Golden Joystick Awards will have a renewed focus, previewing the games of the future, as well as celebrating the best of the past year. All aspects of the event, from the voting process to the award ceremony, the website to sponsorship and partnership opportunities, have all been revisited. The changes bring fresh impetus and vitality. Wow, I love who wrote this. To the event ahead of this 30th anniversary, which is actually in 2012, Simon Maxwell, who's the group publisher, said the Golden Joysticks are without a doubt the key awards event in the calendar as they are voted for by the gaming public. This year we wanted to add even more potential to the mix. The partnership with Games Master makes perfect sense, and bringing in the new experiential the element allows the joysticks not just to celebrate the best of the last year, but to set the agenda for the coming one. Named the world's most popular video game awards by Guinness World Records in 2009, the Golden Joystick Awards attracted at best ever 1.54 million votes in 2010.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
They were also established in 1993 from the seminal TV series of the same name. Games Master is among the world's longest-running and most exciting multi-format games brands. Voting for the Games Master Golden Joystick Awards opens in the summer of 2011. Let's go ahead and get this acronym going because I'm tired of saying those names. GGJA. There you go. Gotcha. There you go.
Gotcha.
I'm going to walk away from that. Okay, so they're also saying with the Glitzy Awards ceremony and infamous after party taking place at Westminster Bridge Park Plaza on Friday the 21st of October, and that is in the UK. I still want to go October, UK, and Awesome. Table seals are, of course, and tables are booths, I'm assuming, are open price at 2,900 francs, pins, quids, pounds, whatever, for a table of 10. A number of announcement and experiential opportunities are available for the champagne reception, awards, lunch, and after show. I like the way they're doing this. This is the way I always envision award shows going, not this childish fare that we have here in the States that's on Spike TV. Do the people at Spike TV know that women play video games and that Spike TV says for men in the title? Not that I'm against men having their own channel. Sometimes
Wait, girls play video games?
Yeah, I know. Amazing.
Wait, we're just some really high-pitched, you know, guys, right?
Apparently so.
With, you know, fluffy stuff on top.
Apparently so. Yeah, I don't know what's going on. And it's going to be, I didn't want to announce it, but they're doing another show on Spike this year. And it's probably going to be just as childish, immature crap that they like to do. One year I watched, they had girls scantily clad dancing on the tables for the developers that won and dropping, you know, confetti down. I'm like, you know, people, we are trying to establish ourselves as a mature industry, as an industry to be taken seriously. When you do stuff like that, the rest of the people look at us and go, those gamers,
Yeah.
They don't think of us as, you know, a viable industry. Do it up. We need to have a red carpet and, you know, make these guys that come to work in their T-shirts and jeans put on a tux and get dressed up nice and actually be treated like an adult human being. I don't mind you serving drinks during the show, but keep the table rolling and the confetti out of it. Really? Anyway, I may have to put together an award show. Let's do this, Ginger.
Oh, yeah, let's do that. I like that. Mm-hmm.
I want me a red carpet gown. Like, it'll be sparkly and it'll have Miss Pac-Man print all down it. You know, just very faint.
Ooh, I like that.
And I got me a Miss Pac-Man fastener because, you know, I'm all obsessed with the fastener since the royal wedding. I got to find me one. Somebody here in the States know where I can get me a fastener. I will wear it outside. I don't care.
All right, hold on. Is that one of those goofy-looking hats?
Yes, I must have one. I am obsessed. I told you I made one in Second Life.
Yeah, I know you're obsessed with the whole English thing, but...
Hush. It's made out of peacock feathers, my one in Second Life. It's black. It's so cute. Anyway. I love my fastener. I must have it. Must has the precious. Okay. Must has the precious fastener. I must. So, anyway, that's what we need. And somebody find me a fastener.
I can still see you wearing one of those, too.
You think I'm joking? I will be outside checking the mail in my... What T-shirt am I wearing today? My Pirates of the Burning Sea T-shirt that says support piracy, and I will be outside in my T-shirt and my jeans and wearing a fastener and some diamond earrings. Think I won't when I will? I will.
She totally will. I don't doubt it at all. You are nuts like that, and that's what makes you awesome.
Thank you. What you got?
I've got some other nut stuff. Yes. MoreGamePolitics.com. UK Labour MP Keith Vaz continues anti-game agenda because, you know, douche nozzle. An early day motion tabled UK Labour MP Keith Vaz, an outspoken critic of video games, has managed to garner 11 signatures. The early day motion calls for better control of video game sales to customers under the age of 18 and encourages parents to limit the screen time of children. 8 signatures are from Labour MPs, with one of the Liberal Democrats, one from the Conservatives, and another from the DUP. The petition was tabled last Friday, May 13th. Develop points out that these signatories have basically agreed that video games are addictive and that game playing should be combined with a variety of extracurricular activities, preferably outdoors, to ensure that children flourish. The motion also highlights the Hungarian EU presidency priority of protecting minors from harmful audiovisual media content and media legislation. Yeah, so video games are evil. You know what, dude? Your hair is evil. What's up with that hair in this picture? No.
Is that Donald Trump?
It could be. Dude, seriously, you're too young to be having a comb over.
I just want to hold
Donald. Don't they pay you enough for plugs?
I just want to hold Donald Trump down and shave his head. I really do.
Yes, just tell him, dude, no, seriously. We're done with the comb over. We're done. We know you're bald. Stop hiding it.
This is how it's going. guys, that's another thing. This is another tip. This has nothing to do with gaming, but you guys out there that are losing the hair, just shave it. It looks much hotter. Don't leave that piece on.
Bald heads are hot. Yeah,
it is. Just shave it off. We don't care if you got luscious hair. Well, if you got it, flaunt it. And if you don't, work with what you got. Shave it off. It's hot. Okay. So you guys may have heard of a little game called Cities in Motion, reviewed by that famous reviewer, Ginger of the Rocks.
Yay! I think I know her.
Yeah, and you were saying to yourself, I would love to play that game, but I have a Mac. Well, guess what?
Oh, is it open for the Mac now?
Yes, it was released on Mac today with some brand new DLC.
Ooh, we like some brand new DLC.
Yes, Vienna, Helsinki, Berlin, and Amsterdam, four of Europe's greatest, most cosmopolitan cities, and now they are your playthings. Paradox Interactive and Colossal Order Limited are proud to announce Cities in Motion, the critically acclaimed mass public transportation simulator, is now available on the Mac at the wonderfully low retail price of $19.99. And that's in all of the monies. In the U.S. and the
Franks,
yeah. Also today we released two new DLC packs, Ginger, which I believe you have access to should you decide to pick it up again. Design Classics, Design Marvels, available in both PC and Mac versions. Yes, so that means yes for you. They also added five brand new vehicles to Cities in Motion, expanding the transit capabilities of the player cities while providing their citizens with new and exciting commuting options. The vehicles included in the pack are the Jubilee Blimbus, the Livingstone Inauguration Tram, the Arnoldport Metro, and the Tiergarten Ferry, and also the Skylark 3 helicopter. I had to say it with an English accent because of that whole Jubilee Blim.
I'm sorry, I'm over here spooning. All I heard was English accents, and I was like, what? I have no idea what you just said, but I was like,
I think I'm changing one of my avatars' name in Second Life to Jubilee Blim because it's just too hot.
Jubilee Blim.
My name is Jubilee Blim. There you go. There are also the pack also adds five new transit options, which increases the speed, efficiency, and capacity of players' transportation systems. These state-of-the-art vehicles include the Italian Dino Vittor bus and one of the largest buses ever built, the Prospecta Experimental, a cutting-edge tram, which is also one of the most environmentally friendly, and the Capital W700 automatic, an automatic train, as well as one of the most efficient. We don't know anything about those here because we do not believe in efficient or green here in the U.S., as we all know.
Well, everybody owns their own car. Even your, 16-year-old has a brand-new car, gas guzzling thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can't talk. I got a brand-new car. I'm sorry. Okay, so... Anyway, that's out today, as well as the packs. I still haven't recovered from that head injury. I just want to tell y'all I'm sorry.
She keeps blaming it on this imaginary head injury.
Yeah. If you had saw what happened to me, you'd have been, oh, it looks like you ever watch a bad football, when you watch football and they get hit really hard, and you're like, that's what happened to me. How can you get up from that? How did you get up?
How are you still walking?
Are you still standing? I don't know. I can't feel my nose. All right. So you played Cities in Motion. I know you said you liked it. I'm going to ask you again a few months later. Did you really like it, or were you being nice?
It wasn't bad. I'm not one for city management games, but it was really well done. If you're into that kind of thing, if you really like the simulators like that, especially because it was a business management model mainly, if you're into that, you are going to love it. And it's beautiful. The graphics were gorgeous. It was very well done. The tutorial was very nice. If you're into those kind of games, if that's your whole thing, then go for it. I'm more of a I need to be killing zombies kind of person, but it was a good game. It wasn't bad.
I liked those kind of games, but this one for some reason didn't seem like it would appeal to me. Maybe you have to play it. Maybe it's one of those you have to play it to see it.
It wasn't bad. I can see people who enjoy that kind of thing losing hours in this thing, but it wasn't bad. I mean, because you were able to do all kinds of things. I mean, of course, you had the buses, you had the boats, you had helicopters, you had subways. And it was everything, and it really wasn't all that bad.
Maybe I'll try it when I get a free moment from playing Angry Birds.
Yeah, I'm not playing zombies. No. Not playing Zombie Lane.
Oh, y'all. You know, We just got a few minutes before we have to take a break anyway. Really quickly, a few of you have been asking for us to bring back the Addicted to Facebook thing because you keep seeing us play these games. You want to know what we think. So I will be bringing that back because I found some amazing games on Facebook, Zombie Lane being one of them.
She has.
All the talks that we've had on the news where people were saying the big guns are going to get involved in the game development on Facebook. Well, it's starting to happen, and it's changing the games completely. And I will be hopefully sometime over the weekend telling you about one that I found last night. I haven't gotten a chance to actually play it, but just the premise of it's not even limited to Facebook. I found it on Facebook, but it's not limited to Facebook. It's a play anywhere kind of deal. And I'm
that is hot.
Yeah, and I need to actually give the developers a yell to find out how extensive is this. Is it you can play on your iPhone? Can you play on your iPad? Or can it really be played anywhere? And then some of you are like, what does she mean anywhere? I'll tell you. Just keep an eye on us over the weekend. Do not stalk us, please. Well, stalk Ginger.
Stalk Ginger. You can stalk me.
Stalk Ginger. You know, I said that, and then I had suddenly the taste of ginger in my mouth. What is that?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. If you're going to stalk me, bring pizza, because I'm kind of hungry.
Ooh. We're going to take an early break, because I'm having some weird things going on in my head. I think that smack to the head did some damage. I don't care what you say, English. Something's wrong with my head.
Yeah, I told you, she's got this whole English thing going on.
Hey, they love us in England, apparently.
They do.
Apparently, they get our humor. I gotta play my song, Stage Ginger.
Oh, yes, that's a hot song.
I've been working on a cocktail called Grounds for Divorce.
That's a hot song. Maybe next Saturday.
I think we all need to also have a zombie week.
Oh, yes. I like that. Did you know I love me some zombies? Mm-hmm. All the time, me and the zombies.
Wait a minute. Whose turn is to do the story?
It's mine. So I need to go ahead and go.
Yeah. Go ahead and end this Grounds for Divorce. I love this song so much.
I know. I was totally just jamming out to it.
Oh.
Oh, you know, I love me some zombies. I love me some zombies. Mm-hmm.
Okay, remember, guys, you have to download to hear the rest of this. We're leaving you, but only for now.
Yeah, we love you guys.
Mwah. All right, Ginger, hit it.
All right, Zombie Cow Studios shuts up. Becomes Size 5 Games.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm just reading this because, you know, zombie. Award-winning indie studio Zombie Cow, the minds behind controversial sex ed shoot-em-up Privates and hit point-and-click adventures Been There, Done That, and Time Gentlemen, Please, has shut up shop and turned into Size 5 Games. Dan Marshall, formerly of Zombie Cow Studios, now head honcho at Size 5 Games, says, I have always hated the name Zombie Cow. You only get one life, and there's no point going through it unhappy with something if it's well within your capability to change it, so I'm changing it. That said, this is probably pretty reckless. Zombie Cow was just starting to get a bit of a name for itself. I think it's fair to say that we're one of the better-known UK developers, so this could be a disaster. Hopefully, we're not going back to square one. Rest assured that Size 5 Games is exactly the same, just with a different name and a trendier website. I haven't announced what the first title from Size 5 will be just yet, but it's my most ambitious and exciting project. Hopefully, I'll be in a position to blab about it all very soon. All right, so if you're a fan of Zombie Cow and you want to check out the new website, you can head over to size5games.com.
Hmm.
Yeah, I was just reading them because, you know, Zombie Cow. Zombie Cow!
Why, Ginger? Why?
It was just got zombie in the title. I have to read it. I can't help it.
Why?
Because it's zombies. Do-do. Corey got quiet. She muted herself.
Oh, I sure did. Okay. I sure did. I'm over here just talking. I am just talking away. Okay, so there is another game that came out a few years ago called Gangs of London. Did you ever hear about that game?
No.
Quite a few years ago. It looks like back 2000. Maybe. But they've revamped it for the PSP. The name of the company, Pulse Films Operations. They're saying that Gangs of London is one of the few games to be created and set in the UK, and it was one of the best-selling PSP titles way back in 2006, and gave players a chance to immerse themselves in the darker side of London, where the city's underworld, ruled by gangs, waged in a violent battle for control. The game contains graphic novel elements with a variety of outrageous characters in a heavily stylized version of London. The feature film is what they're working on, actually. We'll develop these characters into a convoluted cat-and-mouse plot between gangs, culminating in an out-and-out action-adventure. Gangs of London, of course, was an iconic game I'm skipping that. I don't know who wrote this. Thomas Bensky, MD at Pulse and executive producer, said that we're very excited about securing such a great piece of IP in Gangs of London for development into a feature film. The popularity of the game means that there is already a strong fan base, and the content lends itself to a fantastic story on screen. The project continues Pulse's move into the feature film world. And is ideal, and they're saying that Huda, who's going to be the director, is the ideal
Huda?
Directing. Yes, Huda. H-U-D-A. Huda.
All right.
Huda man. Is that they're the ideal directing partner for the venture. Huda is who will be attending this year's, I cannot talk, sales market with his latest feature, Everywhere and Nowhere, is set to direct with Pulse Films, Thomas Bensky producing. And they're saying further details about this will be announced this year. I think you guys should probably revamp this game and update it and re-release it if you're going to do the film.
I'm thinking much the same.
Because I do not own a PSP, and it's one of the few times I don't want to own a PSP. Sorry, Sony. I have no desire to own a PSP whatsoever. Never did. From the first time I held it, I thought, this is wrong. And I handed it back to the person who let me hold it, and I haven't touched one since. So, sorry. But I think you should revamp it and re-release it to other platforms. And let's see. Because I don't know anything about the game. I don't remember it at all. If it was doing great, it wasn't doing so great here. So let's see what you got.
I don't know. All right. Paradox Interactive. We love them. We really love them. They're so awesome.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
King Arthur II, the role-playing war game developer Diary launched. Oh, when the greatest tale of chivalry ends, the nightmare begins. Paradox Interactive and NeoCore Games are proud to announce the launch of a new developer diary for King Arthur II, the role-playing war game, the highly anticipated sequel of the role-playing RTS series that are launching this fall. The developer diaries will be released on a bi-weekly basis. The story begins long after young Arthur pulled the enchanted sword out of the stone and united the war-torn land of Britannia. I can't say that. Anyway, where legends normally end, King Arthur II begins on its own gruesome tale. From the first developer diary by Victor, content designer and writer for King Arthur II, we wanted our players to shape their own mythology where Arthur could be a tyrant, a believer of the old faith, a true knight, a Christian zealot, or anything in between. From this, we set out to create a fantasy world based on some historical facts, but also a great deal of myth and folklore. All right, so you want to read the whole thing, you can head over to rtsguru.com and check it out. There's also a YouTube trailer, which I actually already put up on the website, gamingagents.com.
And I'm adding to our trailer feed, so it'll be the first one. There we go there.
Very nice. All right, so what are the features of this new game? A dark fantasy setting. King Arthur is now the maimed king, trying to mend a land torn asunder. A stunning plotline, heroic battles, and expanded morality chart that unlocks new features. Large-scale battles with bigger armies to defeat more powerful foes. Intense boss fights where the hero's forces are pitted against unique and terrifying foes, wide range of camera control options, revised animations, and an extensive tutorial. Awesome. So you want to check out, you can head over to kingarthurthewargame.com, or you can head over to the Paradox Plaza forum, which is forum.paradoxplaza.com.
Because they love us.
Yes, they are awesome. We love us some Paradox. Yes.
Well, you guys have been hearing us talk about Supremacy MMA. They're saying they're going to bring the fight to you in fall. In the fall, September of this year.
Really?
Yes. The global video game publisher 505 Games and developer Kung Fu Factory announced today that the Supremacy MMA will bully its way onto store shelves everywhere on September 20th for the Xbox 360 video game and entertainment system from Microsoft and the PS3, of course. Supremacy's one-of-a-kind blend of arcade gameplay and MMA fighting styles is currently scheduled to be the only new fighting game shipping this holiday season, as far as you know. Supremacy MMA is an extremely important new IP for 505 Games and represents another level of depth in our growing roster of games. That is from Mr. Ian Howe, who is the president of 505 Games here in North America. With that in mind, we believe the tremendous value of the title combined with the overwhelmingly positive response we've had from consumers and writers during early gameplay sneak big peeks tells us this title deserves to launch in the thick of the fall buying season. There's a huge opening in the market with no retail fighting games, specifically no MMA games hitting this fall, so we're ready to deliver a title that exceeds the expectations of MMA and arcade fighter fans alike. You can currently pre-order Supremacy MMA at GameStop and expand your roster of fighters to include undefeated fighter Shane Del Rosario. Pummel your opponents as the invincible 6'4", 250-pound fighting machine. Ooh, loves me some tall boys. Okay, known for his incredible strength and speed, Del Rosario holds the distinction of being the first American to become the WBC heavyweight. Yes. His flawless record is crowned by the fact that every single one of his fights ends in a KO or submission. Wow. With only a single fight making it into the second round, make them submit. Pre-order today.
Yes, I figured that was the line that got you.
Up you. Online customers, you will get a code with instructions on how to redeem Shane Del Rosario, and that'll be emailed to you once your game ships. You guys that are picking it up in the store, your code instructions on how to redeem Shane Del Rosario will be printed on your receipt at time of purchase, so don't throw it out.
and 505 Games says that they're jumping into the cage this fall with the only MMA fighting game coming out this year that's going to be armed with arcade-like speed, real in-time fighters, including former UFC champs Jens Pulver, K1 kickboxing legend Jerome LeBanner, and the first real female fighters in an MMO game. This is why I'm talking about the game in the first place, because normally I would just gloss over it. So we have our Felice Herrig and Michelle Gutierrez.
Yay!
The girls rock, and we do have some trailers up, I think, still of the girls, because I don't post the guys, but the girls are awesome, some interviews and things with them. And we are trying to get them to come over here so that we can interview them about their involvement in the game, because that's just awesome.
That is awesome.
I am, however, wondering if the guys will be able to fight against the girls, because I know somebody, you are going down if y'all can fight against the guys in this game. I'm picking it up, you're going down. You hear my fist hitting my hand, I'm serious. Okay. and I always say I'm not a competitive gamer. No. But sometimes some people need a foot on their neck. You know who you are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And again, you can go ahead and pre-order out September 20th, 2009. If you're not familiar with Kung Fu Factory, you say, what have they done? Why would I be interested? Let me remind you of a few of their games. UFC, Dreamcast, The Warriors, Mortal Kombat, Armageddon, Scarface, True Crime, and most recently, of course, UFC Undisputed 2009. All great games, and you've all played them. Pick it up. It's going to be good. All right. I know they did not pay us, but I do want a copy of the game now, people over there at Reverb. it's time for us to go, Ginger, and I have had no sleep, and I'm still wide awake.
Yep. But real quick, a leaked memo yesterday revealed that Sony expects to have its PlayStation store back online on or around May 24th, which is next Tuesday.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. This is coming from Edge Report. The news is getting mixed reactions from partners. The biggest complaint is that the doubled-up weekly release schedule. Developers feel that their games will be buried under a deluge of new content and quickly forgotten as even more content is piled on top in the weeks to follow. What do you want, guys? They got it back up. What are you going to do? You going to get your stuff out there, or are you just going to hold on to it until things slow down?
I do believe, Ginger, somewhere in this, we got cut off.
I knew it started acting weird.
Oh, wow. I'm going to do that. Well, assuming you can still hear us, guys, we have no music for you. But, hey, have a great weekend. We are out of here. I don't know what they're doing, but have
a later, boys and girls. Come back Monday.
Maybe.
Dun, 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 dun. Get such a...